It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. And by TJT Sports Photography, taking the winning shot every time. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester that talks about the well-being and the issues for our youth athletes from peewee all the way through to the college athletics here in the Rochester area. Hey, you know, lots of interesting things going on in the news with sports in general. We've got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of chatter on the social networks with the concussion, with a new documentary that is out about concussions, and in fact, Dr. Robert Cantu, who has been with us on Youth Sports Now. It was highlighted in this documentary, and hopefully we're going to be talking to Dr. Cantu in the coming weeks about some more findings from the concussion reports that have been out with the NFL, as well as some of the youth sports programs that are out there. We also have a whole bunch of stuff as we look at major league sports with the playoffs and the football season and basketball just around the corner. And interestingly enough, some things that our good friend Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training may be able to help us with, at least understanding with some of these reports based on injuries with both football players and also some basketball players. I know that there's one report out there that Kobe Bryant has been going to Germany for some specialized therapy from his injuries. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Of course, we'll have Mike Naparella and the regular Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment, and all things just, you know, related around the issues of well-being for our athletes and just how we can help them as parents, as coaches, and as youth sports administrators. So when we come back, you know, Mike and I are going to have a little chit-chat, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of these things going on and how they affect your youth athlete right here on Youth Sports Now.
You're listening to WYSL 92.1 FM, 1040 AM, webified with the live stream or the podcast if you miss a show at WYSL1040.com. We'll be back.
Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home, where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
There's only one Little League where 500,000 girls can play their hearts out and be seen by the world. Little League Softball, televised nationwide in 4 divisions. Join a real Little League. Sign up today. Little League rules for a reason.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
And we are back on Youth Sports Now, and got a great show for you tonight. Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy joins us early in the studio tonight. And Mike and I are going to be chatting about a lot of the things that are going on that affect our youth with youth sports. So, Mike, hey, welcome to the first and second segments of our show. And also, of course, we'll have the Peak Performance Physical Therapy segment.
Thanks, Greg. It's good to be here.
You know, Mike, we've got lots of topics out there that I think, at least personally, as a coach, affect the kids because they watch so much television and they're, you know, so busy with social media networks, and whether it's the Facebook and the Twitters and the Instagrams and everything. And let's face it, the major league sports aren't necessarily not pushing information out. They're pummeling the audiences and our kids. One of the things that's out there a lot right now is this whole issue with concussions. There is a new PBS special that will be airing, I think, actually this week here in Rochester. And one of the people who is highlighted in the show is Dr. Robert Cantu. And you know as well as I do, Dr. Cantu was actually one of our very first guests on the show. And Dr. Cantu is very concerned about the kids and concussions. He is the NFL consultant to not only the NFL, but the NCAA, I think, the NBA and the NHL. And, you know, I know that in your physical therapy, you know, business and practice, you're not necessarily seeing the concussions or working with the concussion athletes, but, you know, you're a parent and you've coached and you go to a lot of athletic events because you're seeing your kids play. You know, how concerned are you as a parent and a coach with the whole concussion issue? Is it real or is it just media hype?
Well, I think it's usually real, and I think it's excellent that we've got experts like Dr. Cantu and others out there who are doing the research and looking at these things, but also taking it back to that sort of neurophysiologic level. He did a great job reminding us on that show a while ago, one of our first shows, like you said, talking about the developing nervous system of a young athlete. And so often, Greg, you know, we've talked about this in other realms here. We sometimes make the mistake as adults, out of good hearts and out of good intentions, but out of the history of only knowing what was done for us and what we do now, like how we train an athlete. We take an athlete who's 20 years old or 30 years old or 40 years old as a parent, and how you exercise. And then we sometimes apply that to that young body. And that's a mistake. In concussions, it can be the same way. You know, we think of, you know, how does that 18-year-old handle a concussion? How does a 20-year-old college kid handle that concussion? And sort of sometimes make that mistake and jump to think, well, in the 8 or 10 or 12-year-old, it's the same thing. And Dr. Cantu was very quick to remind us that the myelin, the coating around the nerves that helps protect the nerve, and optimizes the signal transmission for those nerves in our brain and our nervous system to do what they need to do, aren't nearly as well developed in that younger athlete. And so they're not as protective. And so those young athletes are really, really at risk. And Greg, I remember one of that, it might have been that very same show or maybe the next one, where someone had called in, or maybe it was one of the guests who had said they had heard of a kid on their peewee football team who'd already had a second or third concussion by the age of,
yeah,
I think it was 10.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a real concern.
You know, I don't get, Mike, how, you know, there are so many athletes out there who have gone through concussions. And, you know, one of the things we talk about here is the well-being of our young athletes. And certainly, you know, again, they've got their role models. They have their heroes. One thing that was interesting to me is that this week, for the very first time ever, Troy Aikman of the Dallas Cowboys, who had gone through numerous concussions as both a quarterback for UCLA and then also coming into the NFL, he finally broke his silence. And I thought it was interesting, and you know, again, get your perspective. He says that if he had a son today and was going to have to answer the question about playing football, he would highly doubt that he would let his son play. I mean, this is a guy who has made millions as a quarterback and has won Super Bowls and is now a broadcaster. But I mean, this is remarkable to me that someone is saying, I probably wouldn't let my kid play.
Well, it's shocking too, to think of it from the perspective of what sometimes we're willing to put ourselves through. But then when we consider our loved ones, how we may be a bit more protective. And we need to remember that when we're assessing athletes. You know, sometimes that love and passion for the sport will lead you to do things
sure.
that you certainly wouldn't put your mother, brother, father, sister, daughter, son through. But you yourself will go ahead and run right through that wall. And I think that's a great example of it. Listen, we've got to think about some of the examples from the not-so-distant past. Joe Montana,
yep.
one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Records all over the place. One of the reasons he's not playing that game anymore is how many concussions he had. Look at the Buffalo Bills. You know, they bring in Kevin Cobb as a backup, at least, maybe a starter, and has just one more concussion. And if you look at the film, wasn't really a hugely impressive hit that he took.
Right.
But his brain, his nervous system was so sensitive from those prior concussions that there is talk that he won't even just miss the season. He may potentially be done with professional football for the rest of his life. And I think, Greg, not unlike a lot of other injuries that happen, you know, we're so focused on how we feel immediately. You know, a kid gets their bell rung. And whether it goes away in minutes or hours or days, it's relatively this short time frame. And so you sort of put it behind you and forget about the impact it may have. This is the brain you've got to live with. You look at somebody yeah. like, and I know it's not exactly the same thing as concussion, but Muhammad Ali. You
right.
look at how that man is moving around now. We know that sort of concept of being punch drunk, that you can take so many shocks and traumas to your brain. Now, that's an extreme example, but it can happen that there is a price to be paid that you can't go back on.
Yeah, you can't go back on it. But, you know, what I think bothers me the most, Mike, about all this stuff with concussions and the kids and the retired players who, whether it be the NFL or the NHL, who say they wouldn't let their kids play, but yet they're, you know, still in some sort of debilitative state because of these concussions. But what bothers me the most is that there seems to be a do as I say, not as I do type of mentality. And I think that, you know, when we talk about our kids, imagine, I'll use the example that you just gave. There's a 10-year-old out there and he's on his third concussion. I mean, Mike, he's 10. This kid has his entire life ahead of him. And, you know, as coaches, as sports administrators, as a physical therapist, I mean, it almost feels like we're a bit helpless with some of these kids because we don't know where it's going with them, with their future.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, again, we think of the short term of, well, it was just I got my bell rung. Everyone gets their bell rung. But it's not always that simple. You know, we had a next door neighbor who had several concussions. They were just unfortunate accidents. It wasn't an irresponsibility thing or something. And this girl got to the point where the concussion is so bad. I mean, they're out of school for a while. I had a patient whose son had to be out of school for months and months and months, had to be in dark rooms, couldn't play a video game, couldn't watch TV, couldn't have the radio on, couldn't have their iPod on, couldn't be stimulated by a cell phone and text messaging or any of those things that normal teens would be dealing with. Because the concussion happened a second time and it was significant enough. We're not talking about whether or not you're just going to play sports. We're talking about something's different about the rest of your life for some
reason. Yeah, if you have the ability to learn, if you have the ability to have a job and to carry on a career. You know, it's funny, Mike, I've known a couple of kids who have had concussions. One of them was one of my players in baseball. And, you know, he did fail the concussion test after, you know, initially being diagnosed and then trying to come back. He did not come back, but he took the test again. And I think that, you know, that was very shocking to his family, to his parents. And I mean, I will admit that these parents were really gung-ho, intense sports parents. And then there's another young athlete who I know who received a concussion. probably the third one is the family's best guess. But this is a football player who this happened a junior year in high school. And now this young man is a senior in college and he still can't fully pass the concussion test. That's a lot of years. That's a lot of future that might be cut off. And yet, you know, we watch these role models just go out there and bash their heads together and just say, yeah, again, do as I say, but not as I do.
Well, I think we see that in the NFL to some degree where you talk to, where you listen to or watch the reports or listen to the stories of some of these players of old from the past where everyone got their bell rung and no one told anybody about
right.
it. And it happened repeatedly that I think some of those players are the ones that you do see saying, look, I don't know if I'd let my kid play. But that's why there's a lot of pressure, I think, in the NFL Players Union. And for example, these days now, they really want to have the league step up concussion testing. And that's why, you know, when we talked to our friend Phil Steckley from West Irondequoit, where my kids go to school, the idea of having someone who's skilled be able to do impact testing, it's one of the formal ways to pre-test and post-test kids prior to ever participating in the season, getting a baseline.
Right.
And then having some way to measure their cognitive brain function ability so that when they do get dinged and they've had a concussion, someone can monitor when their brain is functioning more normally. And so, you know, certainly it's our hope. Just as physical therapist community and healthcare provider community, that the availability of things like impact testing and having someone who's able to administer the test like Phil and analyze it, that we can have more and more of this accessible to athletes. When you think about these, there's certain sports who certainly get earmarked first
sure,
for these sort of tests in a high school level. But look at what you do as a youth baseball coach. Think about the Pee Wee football coaches. Think
right.
about the Pee Wee hockey leagues, where collision sports or the mishaps of collisions that can happen can lead to risks of concussions, but how many of these kids are being tested?
Right.
We don't have any data on them to know when they're safe to go back, and sometimes they just get forgotten or brushed under the rug or they're not dealt with. Now, it's become much more of a media attention thing now, so I think we see parents more frequently making sure they get to their pediatrician, seeing a sports doc, who will then order that impact testing and at least be able to measure where their cognitive function is and knows those signs and symptoms well and can help safeguard that return. But certainly not everybody does. I was just having this discussion with Phil last week on the phone, and he was talking about how many more concussions he seems to be seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more of awareness now, which is a good thing. So
right.
it's being reported more often, I think, now than before.
You know, let's make a little bit of a transition, Mike, from maybe the NFL and the concussion thing with the kids. But again, a topic that is important for us to talk about because we do talk about the well-being of young athletes. So there was a report this week, which I know a whole lot of kids were talking about because I overheard the chatter about this. And the chatter was that Kobe Bryant, who we know was injured last year with the NBA for the Lakers, is that he is receiving some sort of specialized treatment in Germany and that he's doing it now so that he can come back. And, you know, we talk about this pressure that the professional athletes have where they're making millions of dollars. And I understand that pressure. And to me, there's no gray area. You have the athletes who are fully invested in their future and their bodies and their careers. And they're not going to do anything to injure themselves, whether it's steroids or whether if they become injured, they're not going to go out there until they feel they're healthy. Forget what the doc may say. Then on the other side, you've got the professional athletes who are making the millions as well, but they're going to do whatever it takes to get back on the field. Now you put in the youth athlete, and you're seeing these kids every day as part of your practice. You know, how do we talk to kids about this? I mean, it to me, it's a difficult task to again say to a kid, you know, hey, listen, don't do what Kobe's doing. And do what, you know, another athlete is doing and don't ever do what Robert Griffin III, you know, did and get hurt. How do we deal with this?
I think it's difficult, but, you know, the good and bad news of that is I think there are examples on all sides of the spectrum to be able to point to these kids. And they look up to these pro athletes. And certainly look at someone like the Robert Griffin III example with football. having chosen to go back out when I think most of the viewers, if they could have clicked a button that said, keep out on the sideline right. or go back in, they would have clicked the button to keep him on the sideline because you could see him sort of limping and not looking as crisp. And, you know, his heart was in the game. He's been playing his whole life. He had a passion for it. And the problem is that sort of takes away your sense of reality and clarity in the moment sometimes. And doesn't that happen in lots of areas in life in the heat of the moment? And so, but we have examples like that, unfortunately for him, of people to point to remind them, as much as they think of someone maybe getting back quicker early, to also caution them about being wise in their decision-making. And we obviously have to be honest with them. Not very many athletes are in a position to go spend the money it takes to get a plane ticket to go to Germany,
right.
you know, see some of the best doctors in the world there. Maybe people who are doing experimental things haven't been proven yet and think they're on the cutting edge, or maybe someone who is on to that next best thing to be able to go try those treatments. Well, that's not the reality for most high school and college or youth athletes, but they do see that. And I think one of the challenges, and we've talked about this on the show before, is the concept of looking for those quick fixes. You know, it's like so an athlete's going to think about, let me take creatine or let me take a caffeine drink or let me take steroids, but I don't want to take the time to put good food in my body.
Right.
You know, sometimes we just tend to be a society where we're looking for the shortcut. And I think the people who last the longest with the bodies that are healthiest tend to be people who made wise, healthy decisions, not the shortcuts. If you take those shortcuts for a long enough time, your body pays the price for those shortcuts. Maybe a short-term apparent benefit. There's prices to be paid for putting too much caffeine drinks in your body. Prices to be paid for not eating well, but taking steroids and other supplements, but not putting whole real foods in your body. You can get by in the short term, but it doesn't last long term. And I think in the long run, one of the things we want young athletes to know from the show is don't take shortcuts. Find out what the right thing to do is and first worry about the right thing before you worry mm-hmm. about those extra things that people like Kobe might be able to do.
And it's also important that these kids, I think, today, our listeners and the parents and the coaches and youth administrators, that they understand that in some ways these role models, these athletes that we put on pedestals, or the kids do, or let's face it, we do too. I mean, as adults, we have our favorite, you know, sport and our favorite teams and our favorite athletes. But what I think is interesting, and I think we need as part of youth sports now to have out there on the table and start discussion about, is a simple fact that, you know what, whether it's steroids, whether it's the supplements, or whether it is a concussion, these are things that can affect a youth athlete for the rest of their lives. And, you know, I hate using the phrase possession, because when parents say, well, you know, they're my most prized possession, you know, your children shouldn't be a possession. But they are the ones, I guess, that you love the most. And yet, even the parents have such a hard drive sometimes for success, or that D1 scholarship, or the contract, that they're pushing them. And again, there's really no difference between the concussion or the steroid use. It's going to affect them.
Absolutely. You know, there's a guy that in the sports training world gives courses and teaches people how to do sports training. And he has this term called long, slow development, and really puts a knock against places that are quick fix sort of things. I can increase your vertical jump in 6 weeks by 10 inches. You know, and this excitement that we get about, you can stimulate bodies sometimes to do impressive performances in a short term. It's not always the right or best thing, but you can wow people with some of the flash.
Sure.
That's not always the right way to do it, but you can create what appears to be immediate success. And, you know, he's really big on this idea of long, slow development. And the point being just to step back, like you said, and can we think about doing it right? And that always requires that we step back out of the excitement of the moment to think about, oh, there's a pressure. My son or daughter could be a D1 athlete, or they could be the starter, or if they do this or that. And I had a young girl years ago who was a very successful young softball player, but her dad would have her up at 5:30 in the morning, throwing in her basement for an hour, hour and a half every day, preparing, and ended up being very successful, and I believe went on to play college ball. And so it appeared to be a success, but you wonder at what price those things right. are paid. And for kids who love it themselves and want to get up on their own and they're looking for help, I think many coaches would say,
That's great.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
If they want to do it themselves, it's great.
But we always have to step back as adults, I think, and ask, are we the ones pushing these things? And sometimes promoting the concept of the short, quick fix versus that long, slow, steady ride.
Wait, let me ask you a question. I will apologize because I don't want to take you off guard and ask this. But, you know, you are, I think, in a very unique position. You are the head of the team over at Peak Performance Physical Therapy, and you've studied this. You've studied the human body and the biomechanics and the functionality of a body. And yet you're a dad, and you know, your kids have clearly at some point in time have gotten injured on the athletic field. What do you do? I mean, I think it would be interesting for our listeners to hear from your perspective when you're sitting in the stands and you're watching your daughter play volleyball. If, and I hope it doesn't, but if she were to get hurt, are you like on that court in a minute as her dad? Are you on that court in a minute as someone who is in the medical profession? Or do you sit back and say, okay, these guys got to handle it, and right now I just need to stay in the background?
That's a great question. That's I think as a dad, your first desire, and sometimes you do see people do this, the parent literally runs on the field. Whether they're trained or skilled in being able to assess the situation or not, they just out of care and love, they run on the field. They want to help their son or daughter. That's not really an appropriate response, and we need to step back and be careful for a moment not to put ourselves into a situation that actually makes everything worse. We wouldn't want every parent leaping
right
out of the stands
exactly
to go find out if their kid's okay, even if they were a physician or a therapist or a trainer. In my situation at Western Rondacoit, we've been really blessed. Phil Steckley, the athletic trainer there, is a skilled, a caring, knowledgeable trainer, and he's there at many of the events. Obviously, athletic trainer can only be at one event at a time.
Sure.
There's many events going on at one time. So there's cross coverage. Sometimes at the high risk sports, at the home games, that school's trainer will often be there. But when you're at an away game, their home trainer is often there or available. So when, and it hasn't happened a lot in our case personally with our kids, but certainly have been there when there is no athletic trainer and we know the coaches and a player may get injured. And if they know we're in the stands, we have been called down before to look at a kid, but we really want to make sure that we get the approval as a physical therapist.
Sure.
We get an approval from the parent first to make sure that they want us to look at their kid. And almost always they say, yeah, please take a look at them. But we always would defer to the athletic trainer, either our schools or the one from the other team. The next challenge, though, is who's that next level person who's able to assess it? You may have a nurse or maybe a physician who, you know, they know first aid, they know how to look at an injury, but they may not be skilled in doing an orthopedic exam.
Right.
Now, an orthopedic physician, totally different ballgame. Those are team docs. Or a physician who is a sports doc, functioning as a team physician, they've learned and done that extra training. But not every medical person, because they're a medical person, is really qualified to assess that injury. But really the first concern from a triaging standpoint has to be, you know, does this kid have a significant injury that needs urgent medical care, needs to have 911 called? Let's get an ambulance. Do we need to immobilize them? There could be a fracture or a dislocation or something we've really got to protect. So even at the first aid level, anyone with first aid training, we'd rather have someone with first aid training and that ability to look at the situation, make a quick assessment, be there to do that, versus in some cases, there may be coaches who haven't been trained. They run out on the field and just, you know, are you okay or not? Try to get them up and haven't necessarily thought, you know, do they have a neck injury? Could there be a cervical spine fracture there? You know, so there's a lot of important things as part of that assessment process. So I fortunately haven't been in the situation where I had to run out and look at my kids on the field. However, certainly we're really fortunate that they have gone through injuries that we're available to obviously help them with the rehab process and make sure they do it right.
You know, it's one of the things that as a coach disgusted me the most. And you know, many times I talk about my coaching career and seeing things as an observer. And we'll wrap up real quick here with one short story that bothered me and to this day still bothers me. It was a baseball game. 12-year-olds were playing, and it was an important game at the district level. And I was not a participant as a coach or manager in this one, but the manager of the team, his son, was the starting pitcher. And don't even get me going on my whole bandbox about bats in baseball and at the youth level, but it was at a time a couple years ago when one of the newer bats was allowed to be used. And this young pitcher was a very excellent pitcher, good fastball pitcher, and he had very good control. The batter hit a line shot, and it actually went off the pitcher's head. It hit him above his left eye, and the ball ricocheted from the pitcher's mound into the stands. And what then happened, Mike, was this is what the part that disgusts me the most. The father was the manager of the team. And when the ambulance, because 911 was called, when the ambulance came and they took the player away, the father stayed and managed the rest of the game. I mean, where's our priorities? I mean, this was his son. And he looked into the stands and told his wife, you go with to the hospital. I'm staying here for the game. I mean, totally boggles my mind. So, you know, this is our kids. This is their future. And we need to really pay attention to what's going on. You know, Mike, we've got about a minute left in before we actually come back with you and do the peak performance physical therapy and sports training session. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, because we've had a listener ask this question a number of times, and in the short time we have left, can young athletes be just flat out uncoordinated, or is it because we as coaches might not be working with them the right way?
Absolutely, and I've actually have a few kids in who are patients over the years who had essentially coordination problems with running. Some of those things may be developmental delays that had occurred, you know, related to the birth process and the developmental process in utero. So some of those kids may not literally be, you know, they're just not non-athletic or a coach did a bad job. Some of them may be actually neurological developmental issues that, you know, we all vary. Some kids genetically sure. are very gifted. Some may be on the more lacking end of that coordination-wise, and I think that may be something that we're seeing sometimes in those cases.
All right. Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy. He's going to be back with us on Youth Sports Now for his regular segment, and we've enjoyed talking about some of the topics of the day. And when we come back, Mike will be here too.
Youth Sports Now on WISL 92.1 FM, 1040 AM. Tell a friend about the show.
Proudly conservative.
WYSL.
Rochester's home for America's morning show with Quinn and Rose. 92.1 FM and 1040 AM. WYSL, Avon, Rochester.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we are back on Youth Sports Now, and it is time for Your Peak Performance. This is the segment where we talk with Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training about all things for the well-being of youth athletes and how it fits into physical therapy and sports training. Hey, Mike, you know, last week we talked about returning to play for after a sports injury. You went through some examples of how you might transition an athlete from rehab to mobility and strengthen and balance into more total, you know, body dynamic athletic movements like jogging and other agility things. You know, we still getting some questions on this. You know, let's talk a little bit more about that and how does the process differ from athletes who have minor injuries to those who might have just a little tweak or maybe even a major injury?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, last week we started talking a little bit more about how that process goes in terms of trying to take things beyond normal rehab sort of exercises, balancing and strengthening and doing range of motion work. And let's say we get that patient to the point they're feeling really good, they don't have pain. They're generally performing those sort of life tasks well. But now we're thinking about what does it look like to be an athlete? And we talked about the need to transition purposefully in a structured way, in a progressive way toward jogging, toward sprinting, agility drills that are slow, toward things that are very fast. But, you know, sometimes that scares people off in terms of if they have a minor injury, they don't want to formalize their care because they're worried they're going to have to go through this big, long, lengthy process. And certainly we do the same exact process with someone who's had a minor tweak, but that really gets accelerated. So let's say we've got an athlete who had an ACL reconstruction or someone coming off of a very severe injury or a fracture and they were immobilized. That process could very well go anywhere from 2 or 3 weeks up to 6 or more weeks of going through that progression gradually of jogging towards sprinting and agility work that's done very slowly to very intensely. Or a young athlete with a throwing injury, they're working on their throwing mechanics at very short distances to very long distances. Once that long toss is done, they start pitching the ball. They're pitching easier, then they're pitching harder. That can take a while. But if an athlete has a minor tweak, you know, they may get shut down for a few days or a week. They certainly don't need to step into a rehab program that's then going to take them through 6 weeks of a functional return phase. So they're mirror images of each other, but one is a really accelerated version of the other.
And do you think that, you know, when the kids come in to see you, and obviously with the parents, but when the kids come in, is this something that they're worried about? I mean, when they come in to see you, are they thinking, oh, geez, this could take a very long time, or maybe it's just a tweak? And again, we talked a little bit last week about how you deal with that, but is that a worry for these athletes?
Absolutely. I think probably nearly 100% of the time. You know, some might be concerned that there's an underlying stress of, you know, from coaches or parents or from their teammates or even themselves, that concern of not wanting to be pushed back too quickly, being fearful of getting injured again. But I think probably, you know, maybe the greater majority, Greg, has that sense of urgency, that expectation, that anticipation of, I really can't wait to get back. And some of them are willing to make poor decisions, you know, in spite of the fact that, you know, they've got medical advice, they've got a doctor recommending, they may have an athletic trainer, they've got a physical therapist, they've got parents who are worried. Nevertheless, there is this urgency to get back that, you know, whether they say it or whether it comes out later, some of them are willing to be dishonest, not quite fess up to the symptoms they're feeling. And that's why where it comes to some of that testing we talked about a week or two ago, when you can get someone out there and doing the right sort of testing, that's a good functional precursor to whatever they have to do. Let's say you're doing a hopping test for someone who has to run and cut or jump and change direction. Now I can compare one leg to the other. Even if you don't want to quite be honest with me how you're feeling, your body's going to tell the truth.
So I mean, in a lot of ways, it's, you know, seeing is believing for some of these athletes and the examples that you, you've described in previous weeks. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you, Mike, and it's sort of an underlying factor sometimes in some of the questions we get from our listeners is this. You know, we talk a lot about the elite athlete. And what about the average, everyday athlete, those kids who they play the sport for pure passion and pure love, and they're not necessarily the elite of the elite athletes. What happens when they get injured? Is there a difference in how you as a physical therapist and a sports trainer, how you have to approach the elite athlete versus the I don't want to call them weekend warrior kids, but the kids who are just average and love the game?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that question because everyone that's out there is an elite athlete. We certainly don't want to put that sort of stress and pressure on the people who are recreational athletes, who are doing it just more for the fun of it, the love of it, something to do this season. They want to be with their friends. There's all kinds of reasons that kids participate in sports. Not everyone is aspiring to a D1 scholarship or to be a professional, and that's awesome for the kids who want to, but we want to take equally great care of the kids who don't have those same level of aspirations. So yeah, they're handled in similar ways because the truth of the body, the truth of how we function, the truth of how an injury has to heal is true whether you're an elite athlete or whether you're a recreational athlete. But undoubtedly, things that differ are the psychology, the emotional makeup, the drive, the motivation of that athlete. Sometimes there's the risks that the athlete or their parents are willing to take in terms of how quickly someone's sort of being progressively, not aggressively, but progressively pushed to try to see if they can get back. We want to do that in the safest way possible, and that's why seeing a professional is so key. But if they're going to be functioning at very high levels, we want to make sure that we've crossed our T's and dotted our I's. When you get a recreational athlete in with a similar sort of injury, oftentimes they're feeling like, look, I don't have a spring sport I'm worried about. I'm not even going to play again until next season. We can take our time and go slow with this. And so the urgency, the push, the sort of not skipping a beat sense is a lot softer, a lot less stressful and pressing in those situations. On the physical rehab side, undoubtedly, the recreational athlete, although we want to be thorough, we're going to be a little bit less complex, certainly, in those situations because they're not functioning at quite that same level. They don't have quite that same necessity in terms of the type of practices they're participating in or the skill and drill training that they do off on the side. That's part of their participation. So with an elite athlete, we've really got to stay on top of our game and step it up because the complexity, the volume, the intensity are very different from someone who's a recreational athlete. But we don't want to ignore a recreational athlete. Greg, one of the things that really bothers me is that sometimes we see these recreational athletes treated by all everybody, sometimes medical professionals, sometimes by their coaches, sometimes by even parents, because we think that it's just a low-key sort of participation that we can skip steps and just take them from the cast to playing or take them from the brace to playing or the time off to getting back into practice without transitioning them properly. And we remind them it's still a human body, it still has to go through the steps of healing. We still want to follow a structured progression. We want to be thoughtful in being varied in our stresses so that we really think about what that athlete's about to go do. They may not be performing at the same elite level as a counterpart who's looking for a D1 contract or scholarship, but they're still out there playing soccer. They're still out there playing basketball, and the game itself has inherent demands to it that we really want to capture in the things that we do.
And I think that's an important point, Mike, because, you know, there are so many more of the recreational and the passion athletes versus the elite. But, you know, here's something that I've been thinking about as well with this is that you've got you hear in the media, you're always talking, not you, Mike, but the media is always talking about these professional athletes who are injured and they come back early, or you hear, I mean, on various sports networks, you hear something like, you know, this football player, this wide receiver is coming back early. And the reason he's coming back is because he's in such fine shape. He's a physical specimen as an athlete. You know, the kids see that, the kids hear that, and whether the kid is an elite high school athlete or whether that youngster is a recreational passion athlete, they're still seeing these wide receivers and quarterbacks and hockey players come back way earlier than what was first reported. How do you deal with that? And I'm sure that there's not only, again, the physical, but the mental and also the complex and the basics that need to be done.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that you bring up, because we do battle that all the time. I guess one of my first responses would be, let's also not forget RG3, Washington Redskins.
Yep.
Right? Injured a little bit, not quite 100%. Looked at him, did some quick testing, get him back on the field. Now, I don't remember the exact story about whether that happened from one week to the next, but certainly within the game it did. So there's a lot of complexities to those situations, athletes going back. Another football example would be on the Bills, Stevie Johnson. Wide receiver, awesome athlete, goes out with a groin strain or a hamstring strain. You know, they're rehabbing him. Obviously, he's a talented player. They want to get him back as soon as they can. They've got excellent people on staff. There's a lot of pressure to perform. He has a love for the game. I don't know him personally, but you can just tell these athletes want to play. Some people think it's all about the money to them, but they love the game. They've been working their whole life at this. This is their opportunity. But when they come back early, he's been back and forth on the IR or on the off the field,
right,
trying to rehab, because either they go restrain the same muscle again, or they injure a different body part. And so I would caution the people who look at those pro athletes and see the ones who are returning quickly. Yeah, we can talk about that in a second. I think you're right on target with sort of some, they have some super genetics behind them as well. But there's also numbers of them who are remaining off because they respect their body and understand that it needs to perform well if they're going to survive back on that field or court. They got to do it right. And for those who take those risks and do come back early, there are many times those people pay a price for that choice. They have different pressure on them with millions of dollar contracts and those sort of things at that level. They're owned by the team.
Right.
No
sure.
High school kid or college athlete is, even on a scholarship, quite fully owned.
Right.
So some of them put their body at significant risk over these things. And some of them can't walk later or lift their arm up into the cupboard to grab a cup because of those things. So we got to remember there's a price to pay that we don't always see immediately. So we really want to have integrity about caring about the health of that athlete. And when you look at the pro athlete who gets back quickly, I believe there absolutely is something to be said for that sort of superhuman genetics. Only the very elite of the elite ever make it to the pros to begin with. These people have special bodies, and to some degree, for many of them, I'm sure that we would say that that's genetically. So maybe they have a super ability to recover as well. They've been awful resilient to make it that far. But let's not also forget they've got highly trained physicians and therapists and trainers and strength conditioning coaches who are on top of them just about maybe 24/7.
Sure.
Most of us normal humans don't get to have therapy twice a day, four times a day, every day. We don't see our trainer or our physical therapist or our doctor every day. So they're trying their very best not to skip a beat, and that's because they're being paid millions of dollars to do those things. It'd be awesome if all of us had access to that sort of care. But in today's world, it's just not a reality. So there's a number of reasons why those people can go back quickly. Some of it may be choices that are not necessarily fully responsible, but some is just due, I think, to their genetics and the fact they're getting frequent care.
And, you know, you talk about care, Mike, and I know that at Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training, you've got something coming up with I think it falls right into everything we talk about and well-being and so on with the athletes. You've got something you're doing with the Peak Performance Physical Therapy, a sports injury clinic. How what is that and how's that going to work?
Yeah, Greg, we're really excited about this. We've just decided recently that as we continue to get more requests from parents especially, but coaches as well, but especially parents who are looking for someone to help them make that decision of what to do next, that they just need a quick answer. Do I go to the emergency room? Do I see my pediatrician? Do I go see an orthopedist? Do we just wait on it for a few days? You know, especially for those people who don't have access to the athletic trainer in school, who is very frequently in the high schools, catching at least a significant number of these kids when they first get hurt or within days, to be able to help them make that decision. Maybe start them on care, but maybe to direct them to a physical therapist or maybe direct them to a physician, or maybe even a specialist like an orthopedist, lots and lots of people don't have access to that person to help them make that decision. And so we're offering now the sports injury clinic that will make available to a grade school and high school and college level athletes. And it's just going to be a quick screening thing. It'll probably be about a 15-minute visit, but it'll give us a chance to get our hands on them as a professional, take a look at them, ask them some key questions, put them through some tests, try to help them understand the type of injury they may be dealing with, and just help them try to understand better what the next step is.
So, Mike, is this something that with the Peak Performance Physical Therapy, the sports injury clinic, is that something where you're looking at it where the athlete has to have some sort of nagging injury, or could a parent say, hey, look, you know, I've been noticing a few things, or a coach say, I've been noticing a few things about this athlete, call you up and sign up and make an appointment for the sports injury clinic?
That's a great question. That's probably two different things. For that sort of a situation, that was more of a long-standing sort of thing that's not really limiting them in that significant of a way, but certainly needs to be addressed. And that sounds like a physical therapy sort of problem. We would encourage those people to give us a call at, we're at 218-0240. They can catch us on the web at peakptrochester.com and try and contact us and set up what we call a direct access visit if they choose to do that. They can come in for an actual full visit. That way we can do sort of a more problem-solving, thorough evaluation. And one of our therapists will try and problem-solve for them what's going on and set them on the right path. This sort of sports injury screening clinic is more of a triaging opportunity, if you will, so that people aren't having their friend or a parent who may not be medically knowledgeable at all or a coach make suggestions of how they should handle the injury without really having the ability to even do a quick assessment to be sure. You know, that athletic trainer, for example, who's in the high schools, they're going to do a quick screen on them. They put them through some orthopedic tests, try to verify, you know, is this a level of an injury that requires immediate, urgent medical attention? Some things need to go to an emergency room.
Sure.
Some things are going to go need to be casted. Some things may need to be operated on tonight. Some things may need to have x-rays to rule out a fracture. But many, 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 in fact, the great majority of injuries aren't going to be fractures that need that care. And there's lots of people out there, Greg, who are going around right now sort of self-treating and self-diagnosing or looking up on the internet, but never really having a professional get their hands on them. They don't want to necessarily wait the time it's going to take to get a visit scheduled with their physician, but they need somebody skilled and knowledgeable in orthopedics to be able to point them in the right direction. So we're certain that obviously some of these people we're going to possibly ship right off to an orthopedic urgent care facility to be seen immediately, or some might need to go to an emergency room. Some of these people are just going to be advised that it's okay to sit on it for a few days, ice it, rest it, and then see how they're doing. Some of these things are just going to fade away over the days to come. It's a minor tweak. And some things may be best cared for in physical therapy, and we'd be able to help them where we could then transfer them into maybe a direct access visit where we can help them make some good choices on the right exercises and movements to start with. So it's really just a short screening visit. It'll point them in the right direction. It'll just be a $25 visit. It's not something that we're going to be taking insurance for. So it's something we want to make very quick and convenient for the people out there to get some help.
Absolutely, you know, fantastic. So the Peak Performance Physical Therapy, the Sports Injury Clinic, make sure you give Mike a call and his team a call. Of course, you can go to Mike's website and also our radio show's website at youthsportsnowradio.com, and you can get all of Mike's information, contact information there, and go ahead and make that Sports Injury Clinic appointment. It sounds like a good one. Hey, when I come back, we'll have a final thought from my dugout.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
There's only one Little League where the kids of summer take over the world. The Little League Baseball World Series, televised worldwide. To be part of this, join a real Little League. Sign up today. Little League rules for a reason.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
I was asked why I dedicate so many hours to coaching youth sports, especially when my children are all young adults and no longer play. I thought a history lesson was in order. The year was 1975. Gerald Ford was president and the Watergate conspirators were sentenced to prison. Saturday Night Live made its television premiere and the VCR was developed in Japan. The Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl and my beloved Red Sox lost the World Series to the Cincinnati Reds. I was 15 years old and I began my coaching career. My first venture into coaching certainly was not as impactful as the VCR or the birth of Tiger Woods. Yet, in some small way, I hope it was and continues to be impactful on the lives of the players I've coached. I began coaching due to my passion for sports and, frankly, to make some cash. The program I worked in paid coaches at summer baseball camps, and I gobbled up as many hours as possible. I remember the names of the kids who were on my first team and occasionally still talk with them. If coaching my first team wasn't enough pressure, I had the sons of two Rochester Red Wing players, the son of a champion Section 5 and New York State basketball coach, and the son of what was then Rochester's professional softball team, the Zeniths. Because I did clinics in the morning, we had games in the afternoon, and that meant the families of these kids were at each game. What did I get myself into? What occurred to me very early on was that I could and would learn strategy, but the harder part was developing my style and the ways to teach life lessons through sports. Blessed by really good coaches as a player, I called upon everything I had been taught and I coached from the heart, not the scorebook. Aside from the years I took off from coaching due to career or becoming a new parent, coaching has always been a part of my life. Hey, look, I like to win, make no mistake about it. I like to have league and district championships associated with my name as much as the next guy. But as I tell my players, 30 years from now, no one will remember the scores and the trophies are going to be in the basement. What lasts is the teamwork, the sense of belonging, and the life lessons learned on the field, court, or ice. Coaching is a privilege and an honor. By teaching respect for the game, you are teaching lessons that may impact the child today or later when they are an adult. There is no greater feeling than when an adult with children of their own still call you coach and come up and say thanks or send an email saying they are coaching now too. I see many of my former players to this day as high school or college athletes, as parents and business professionals. I never have nor would claim to be a role model. But the pride I take in seeing them grow as human beings, staying in touch or saying hello at the grocery store, is something special and rewarding, if not humbling, in relation to feeling old. As a mentor of mine who continues to coach into his 70s says, you get way more out of it than you can possibly put into it. And that's the view from my dugout.
This has been Youth Sports Now, Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete, has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.